Well, welcome to part one of a brand new series that we have entitled Run. And I would like to take this moment to welcome all those that are just now joining us online. Can you welcome those that are now with us online? Good to have you here today with us. A really exciting day, as you have just heard some things in our Crosspoint news. Especially let me highlight today our small group launch for our fall semester. We're having our showcase today right after service, so I encourage you to shop around, and I'm sure that you'll find something enticing at each and every small group, and so be sure and take some time after service to linger and to get some cookies or whatever they're offering to you. I'm always saying they're going to throw $100 bills at you. I don't know that that's happened yet, but I keep kind of throwing the idea out there for you. And also, let me just point this out, that if you are watching online and you're not here today, you can go online and shop for our small groups. There is you'll find a small group directory. Also, you'll find the leaders' information there where you can call them, have conversations. And by the way, in case you did not know, you do not even have to be a member to be a part of a small group. In fact, you don't even have to attend here to be a part of a small group. So we encourage you, if you're watching today, and maybe you're not here with us and can't be here, but be sure and connect with a small group, and those happen throughout the city, and we'd love for you to be a part of that. Really excited about that. Again, appreciate the leadership of Pastor Steve Guptill, as he is does a phenomenal job. Yeah, I heard a whoop. Come on, let's give it up for Pastor Steve. Amen. And so we're off and running today with our small group launch. And I believe if you do that, you join a group, it will change your life, because we do believe that life change happens in the context of relationships. And all of us were made for relationships. God designed it that way. And so I encourage you to be a part of that. Off and running today with that, and speaking of running, our series, as I do a little awkward transition there, is Run. How about that? Does that work? And so the Lord has laid this topic on my heart several weeks ago, and has really been dealing with me strongly about this. And we're going to take the next four Sundays in this series, and I encourage you, installments of this series are going to be extremely life-giving, and I encourage you to be a part of every one of these. Come back each week. There are message notes now. Come on, y'all. We got our message notes back. Those are there in your worship guide. So we got some fill-in-the-blank for you, and you can also download those online as well and follow along with us. Be sure and collect those after service. If you don't have one already, be sure and pick up a binder. Those are yours. They're free for the taking. Just take those, and you can collect those and keep up with our message series as we continue through this. I also want to encourage you to invite people to be a part of this series, because I believe, really, we are in the harvest season. This is the fall season now. It's true in the natural, but it's also true in the spiritual. More people come to Christ this time of year. So I encourage you to invite people to come and be a part. And when we say harvest, it sounds like a farming term. It's actually a spiritual term, but it's not talking about corn necessarily, not talking about wheat necessarily, but we're talking about people. Amen. And so it's all about people, and that's what God's all about. So I encourage you, invite people to come and be a part of this series. I believe it will be very life-giving. Let me get us started with a scripture. It's going to just be a foundational theme verse for this series. And it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 26. The Apostle Paul oftentimes refers to this journey that we are on as a race. More than one time, more than one location in Scripture, you'll see him use the analogy of this being a race. And he hits it very strong here in the 24th verse of 1 Corinthians, the letter to the Corinthian church. He says, "Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs?" And he says, "But only one person gets the prize. So run to win." And that's what we want to do in this series. We want to train you and teach you how to run to be a winner, to win at life. And so run to win. And then he says, "All athletes are disciplined in their training." Now, some of you are runners, and you know what that's talking about, okay? I don't know so much, but I'm just saying, I've been told, all right? But they're very disciplined in their training, and they do it to win a prize that will fade away. Notice there's a prize involved in running. But then he goes on to say, but we do it for an eternal prize. So we're going to talk about the race that matters. We're going to talk about what matters and how to win in that race. Go back to that, if you would, one more time. So look what it says there. Go back, please, to that scripture. But we do it for an eternal prize. So, look at what he goes on to say. So, I run with purpose in every step. I am not shadow boxing. And we're going to be talking about purpose in this series as well, running with purpose. And so, so he's not shadow boxing. So what he's saying is, I'm not just wasting my time. I'm not just beating against the air. I'm not just doing this in vain. But there's a goal in mind. I want to point out to you this morning that we are all running. We're all running. It's been called the human race. Some people might call it the rat race. but we are all on a journey, and there is a destiny for every one of us at the end of this race. There's a race. There is a finish line. There is a goal. And so a lot of people, if we look at this aspect of running, think about it. There's a lot of running going on in this world. People are running here and there, to and fro. Someone said a lot of people are trying to get there, but nobody knows where there is. You know, we're running with our heads cut off sometimes. I don't know what that looks like. I've heard that phrase all my life. I've heard this phrase, like a chicken with the head cut off. I don't know what that means. But anyway, we just run, rushing here and there. You know, and I've heard it said this way. Sometimes we're climbing the ladder of success, and then when we get to the top of the ladder, we find out that it's leaning against the wrong wall. But we're all running. The question would be this: what are you running to? That's your first blank there. Fill that in there. What are you running to? So we need to ask ourselves that. What am I running to? And it's important that you know what you're running to. Or maybe even running from. And we're going to talk about that a little bit next week. But we can put it this way. Why are you running? Or why do you even get up in the morning? What gets you up in the morning? When you get up, when you set out on the activities of your day, do you have a goal that you're running to, or are you just running? I mean, we need to examine our life. And with this goal in mind, and this is a goal in this series, and that is that we'll discover a goal in this race that we're running that makes this race a race worth running. That we'll discover a reason to get up in the morning, listen to this, with excitement for life, with a reason to get up in the morning. And actually, I believe when we discover this, we'll discover that this race is not just a race, it's the fun race, right? It's a fun race. It's a race for fun. It's a race that we're going to enjoy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it to the full. I believe God doesn't want us just to get up in the mornings, go through the motions, bumping our head against the wall, going through this cycle over and over and over again that seems to be going nowhere. But there needs to be a goal that we have in mind as to what we're running for. So another way of putting this, what are you running to? We could phrase it this way. Let me reword it this way. What am I living for? What am I running to, or what am I living for? And, you know, it's pretty obvious. The list is kind of obvious, the things that through our life that we run to and we live for and we are shooting for. Some of them are pretty common. At the very beginning, a lot of it is just maybe our education. It's not long before you're born, you're put into an educational system of some kind. It may be homeschool, or it may be an organized, structured school in a setting with other people, but you're going to be working towards your education. And then that turns into college. Even that's a goal. I just want to get that degree. I sometimes think maybe we're studying not just for information. We're just studying for that piece of paper. So we can get that piece of paper. And so we got to have this education goal. And then we go through that part of our life. And then we think, well, then I got this education so I can get me a career. So we're our next thing on our list is we're going to run towards finding a career or a job of some sort. And then, of course, when we get a career and we then know that maybe we want to get married, that's probably a good place to put that right there. So some of you are running for a man. Some of you are running for a woman. I don't know. You know, we're just, and that's your goal. That's your goal, baby. I got to find me somebody. That's your goal. Don't ask me why I just talk like that. It just came out. Okay. I mean, you know, I'm just thinking about how some people, that's their passion. I got to find somebody. And so, but that's a legitimate goal. We want to find somebody that we could spend our life with. All right. And then, of course, then after we're married, then there's another goal for many of us, and that's children. Some of us want to have children and start a family, and that becomes a goal. And then, of course, after you've worked and after you've raised your family and you're going to work every day and you punch at the time clock, then after you're doing that for a while, then you're thinking, okay, I worked hard to get this job. Now I'm just going to work towards retirement. I just want to quit now. I want to get started. Now I want to quit. And so we're looking for retirement. We're running towards that. And then when you get to each one of these, you think, what's next? What's next? What's next? What's the next goal? What's the next goal? And then you get to retirement, you got to think, well, what's the next goal? And so are those things legitimate things that we run towards? Yes, but is it fulfilling our life, that in and of itself? And so then we'll find other things to run to along the way that tries to give us a little spice of life, and we'll run to some entertainment. Some of us like music. Some of us like sports. That's another area, sports or some type of an entertainment. And we just got to find something, just kind of help along the way that we're running towards. But I get to the end of all these lists, and I keep coming back to this question, then what? Then what? They say there's two things that are certain in life. One is taxes, and the other one's you die, right? You pay your taxes and you die. But is that enough? Is that enough? Let me give you a scripture that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 19 that says, and if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. Now, that's talking about a hope in Christ, so that's even Christians. But if it's only based on what happens in this life, one translation says we're of all men most miserable, that's not enough. It's never enough. And so we find ourselves wanting more and looking for more and searching for more, and we run to this and we run to that, trying to find something that's going to satisfy and make this life worth a life worth living, or a race worth running. And so we invest in the temporary things, and we're banking on things happening in this life, and that becomes our hope. But is that enough? And so there's a question that someone once asked. I think it's a good question. It says that it asks this question: is what you're living for worth Christ dying for? That's a good question to ponder. And so we're asking the question, what are we running to? Let me ask another question, and that is, ask yourself this question: how am I running? How am I running? Or how are you doing? How are you doing in this race? So the question would be, are you running with energy? Right? Or are you meandering? Is your tank topped out? I know we got a gas shortage going on. Some of you got your car tank tapped out. But are you overflowing, or are you just running on fumes, right? Are you running with direction, or are you aimlessly wandering? Are you running with purpose, or are you maybe meaninglessly drifting? I mean, do you ever feel like perhaps that you're just running in circles? I don't know if some of you are old enough to remember this commercial. It was Dunkin' Donuts commercial. Any Dunkin' Donuts people out there? And the guy was always getting up in the morning saying, it's time to make the donuts. He'd get up in the wee hours in the morning, time to make the donuts. And then one day, as he's going out, he met himself coming in the door, and he said, it's time to make donuts. And himself came in the door, and he looked at himself and said, I've already made the donuts. Y'all remember that one? That's a pretty good classic one there. You ever feel that way? It's like, okay, it's just like I'm going around in circles, but am I getting anywhere? Is anything being accomplished? Or maybe you feel like your race is you're just running on the inside. You know, it's like you look calm on the outside, but there's like a hamster, you know, wheel on the inside, and you're just discontent, unsettled. It's like the duck sitting on top of a pond, and it looks smooth on the outside, but underneath, if you look underneath, he's just a paddling, right? And maybe that's you, you know? It looks good on the surface. You look good to those around you, and everything seems to be in place. But on the inside, there's a running going on. There's a restlessness happening. So the question is, how's your life, really? And by the way, you just have one. You just have one. We just have one race to run in. How is it? And we got to be realistic in life. There's problems. But how are you running it? That's the question. I mean, on the track that you're on, the track of life, it's going to have obstacles. At times it will be an obstacle course. There will be those challenging stages. You know what challenging stages are. Okay, all my illustrations are old. Galaga, remember the video game Galaga? I happen to be married to the Galaga Queen, actually. You know, it's that thing where, you know, when you play it, you know what I'm saying? And you're just trying to, and there's that challenging stage. There's challenging stages in our life, and that's being realistic. There's going to be twists. There's going to be turns. There's going to be potholes. But how are you running the track that's under your feet? I submit to you that your answer to how you are running may be directly related to the answer to the question of what you're running to. Let me explain this. See, your goal, what you're running to, not only affects your destiny, but it also affects the whole lifelong course you are running. So your goal will determine your course of how it's run. It will impact your how. Your what you're running to will impact the how of how you're running it. Y'all with me? So the question, how are you? And some of you may say, well, I just don't really have any goals. I'm not running. I'm just resting. I'm just taking it easy. I haven't got any. I'm just sitting here. And I'm not going anywhere. Well, actually, no, you actually are. In fact, you're probably running faster than any of us. Let me give you a scripture for that one in case you say, well, I'm just not in that running crowd. And I just kind of, I'm just going to coast. I'm going to drift. And whatever happens, happens. Okay, sirrah, sirrah. And if you're living your life like that, I got one for you. Okay, it's found in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. In other words, you are running real fast to poverty if you're just being lazy, right? So all of us are running one way or another. Whether you're doing something or doing nothing, we are running. And so, or you have goals, but if your goals are not worthy of a lifetime of running to achieve them, let me tell you this. It leads to disillusionment. It leads to disappointment. Or worse, in an effort to find fulfillment, get this now, this is important, grab hold of this. In an effort to find fulfillment, because the goals we set are not enough to bring fulfillment and meaning, we often search for something else to fulfill us and start running, not to just that generic list I gave you, but we start running to a list of things that are actually quite unhealthy. And so we fill our lives with these things we think will satisfy us, and that gives us another list of things that we end up running to that's actually listed in Galatians chapter 5. And it's pretty bold, pretty plain spoken here. And this is what we gravitate to if we're not gravitating to a goal that's worthy of our life running to it, okay? And there's the list that Paul gives us here. The acts of the flesh, those things that our flesh kind of run to, our human nature runs to, are obvious. Sexual immorality. Impurity and debauchery, especially when our body's calling the shots. Idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So he gives us a list, doesn't he? Whew, that's a heavy list. But oftentimes, if we're not careful, we can be running to the wrong kind of unhealthy things because we don't truly have a goal set in our life that needs to be run to, that's worthy of our running to. But listen, your life doesn't have to look like that list. Let me show you another list because the very next verse, Paul goes on, but the fruit of the Spirit, that's when not your body's calling the shots, but now the Spirit is calling the shots in your life, and you're running towards a goal worthy of your running. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Don't you love it? So he's saying there's another list. There's another way of how your life could look if you follow this way of life. So the question then would be, so how do I get my life to look like that? Can I encourage you? It's real simple. Run to the one who created the entire human race to begin with. That's the goal worth running. It's the goal worth it's worth the race. And here is how. Let me give you how. In fact, when they asked Jesus, who came and revealed who the Father was and what his plan for our life was and came in the flesh and let us know that he just wanted to have relationship with us, they went to him with a question. And they said, okay, you're the Son of God, then answer this for us. We have all these commandments that we're supposed to be doing, and back then they had a lot more that they had because they added to it, okay? Which really the commandments that God gave were not for him, they were actually for us. Not one of them was for him. They were for our well-being. And they asked him, what's the greatest one? And I love it. He didn't hesitate, and he said this. He told them how they were to live their life, how they were to run their race. And it's found in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, where Jesus replied, love the Lord your God. So it begins with a relationship, with loving him, right? Not about doing, but about loving, right? A relationship. Love the Lord your God with, now look at this, all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And he says, this is the first and the greatest commandment. I just want to highlight that word all. Because we're supposed to love God. But notice what Jesus said. Three times he said, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, love God. The key to this whole thing is to fall in love with him. But not just do it as an experiment or I'll try this and see if this works. No. He says, when you go all in, when you love me with all your heart, that everything else rests on this. The rest of your life will follow this. So I want to talk about what it means to run to win the prize. Again, we have one life to live. We need to live it well, and so we need to run to win. Paul worded it this way in in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. And he says, and now the prize, there it is again, awaits me in a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but it's for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. He also says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So here's what I believe what we need to do in order to run to win this race. And that is, first of all, we need to decide why we're running. Why we're running. What is our goal? And so let me give you a few points that I believe will help us on this. Number one, run to the goal of knowing God. Run to the goal of knowing God. Paul explains this again about this goal in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 through 12. And he says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. In other words, whatever else in my life I was running to, it didn't add up, didn't come close to this goal. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. That's saying something. And be found in him and not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. So it's not about doing, but that which is through faith in Christ. But he goes on to say, I want to know Christ. That's my goal. I want to know him. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection. Okay, there's the strength that God gives us in life and living for him, and the participation in his suffering. Because as we said, in this life, there's gonna be twists and turns and some ups and downs. And in those places, yet there's some knowing that Christ is with us and we have fellowship, we have relationship with them in the midst of that. Look what it goes on to say. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal. Notice it's a goal. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. So number one, run to the goal of knowing God. Above everything else in your life, you need to know who he is. I mean, why not know the one who started this whole race to begin with? If you want your life to make sense, if you want this race to make sense, it only makes sense that you would know the one who created the race in the begin with, who created the entire human race, right? So begin there. It all begins there. Run to the goal of knowing God. Number two, as you run to him and run to this goal, run with passion. Run with passion. In fact, this message is subtitled, Run with Passion. And so this is really a focal point I want us to see here. And that is, as we're running to know God, we've got to make sure we got the right goal. We're running to know him, but then how do we do that? Run with passion. Jesus said, love the Lord your God. There's a passionate relationship there. We're all in passionately in love with him. And I believe God values passion. Acts chapter 13 and verse 22, it describes David. And God says, I found David, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. It says that he was after God. David was running after God. And David didn't run a perfect race. And he had some mess up and he had some major failures in his life. But he was constantly running after God. And God, he had God's heart. And he said, he's a man after my own heart. And he says, I know a man that's after my own heart. I can trust him. He'll do everything I want him to do. In other words, I can have a relationship with him. We can walk together. We can accomplish things together. So there's a passion there. David himself put it this way in Psalm 42. I love this. He says, as a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Look at this question. When can I go and meet with God? I mean, my heart and my goal, my hope for you is that you'll have such a passionate relationship with him that you can't wait. And I know we're talking to him all day long and he's walking with us all day long, but there's those times that we want to get alone with him and spend time with him, and that you put that on as your calendar as an appointment that you cannot miss because you're passionately looking forward to the opportunity to have time to meet with God. Isn't that awesome? That's what I hope for you, that you'll have that kind of passionate relationship with him. I heard I received this quote this week from a person by the name of Mark Batterson that says this: one of our greatest spiritual shortcomings is low expectations. We don't expect much from God because we aren't asking for much. I heard that. I thought, you know, that's so true. That's so true. Because sometimes we live our life, we're just mediocre. Just get by. Just, you know, get up in the morning, struggle to get to the restroom, you know, try to get dressed, mosey out the door, work through Charlotte traffic, bump her head against the wall, have some road rage, yell at a supervisor, I don't know, you know, just kind of go through, go home, tired, exhausted, fuss at the kids, kick the dog, throw the cat out, I don't know what we do, you know, go to bed and get up and do it all over again. But I'm just trying to tell you this morning that we actually sometimes think that that's just all there is to life, and we have this low expectation of life. And I believe that many Christians are living way beneath their privilege, way beneath their privilege. And in fact, the enemy has come and said to many of you, and this is not in my notes, it just comes to me right now. I believe this is for somebody. The enemy oftentimes has come and tried to tell you who you are and try to give you a false identity of who he says you are, or who society says you are, or who your family says you are, or who your environment says you are. But I want to tell you, you don't need to get your identity from who he says you are, but you need to understand who he says you are, who God says you are, and understand who you are in him. Amen. And because of it, we adopt this second-rate identity. That's what God's people did in Egypt. They thought they were slaves, but no. God had to get them out of Egypt. Then he had to get the Egypt out of them because they still had the slave mentality. God had to raise up a new generation that understood that he was God and they were his. Amen? And so today, we need to understand who we are in Christ and run with passion, not living beneath our privilege. In fact, one scripture says, you have not because you ask not. And then it says, ask. And then it says, but oftentimes then when you ask amiss, you have the wrong motive. You're shooting for the wrong goal. You have the wrong thing in mind. But I want to tell you, we need a heart that's after God. And go all in. What I'm saying is God doesn't want us to be half-hearted. God doesn't want us to be half-hearted. I mean, do you really want your football team this season to play half-heartedly? I'm so glad that I got a voice this morning. I was cheering passionately for my football team last night. We lost. We won't talk about Bama. But anyway, we were passionate. And we wanted them to run passionately, right? Run! I was yelling last night, get him! Who wants a team that's half-hearted? Guess what? God doesn't want a team that's half-hearted. I want to get up early and seek his face. I want to know him. I want to run passionately with everything I've got. I want to be all in. Man, come on, everybody. All in. You don't believe this is true? That's what God wants? Look at Revelation chapter 3. This is not in your notes, but let me give this to you. Jesus is saying to the church, he says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold or hot. I wish you were either one or the other. Get in or get out. Come on. And then he says, so because you're lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Because if you're cold, I can do something with you. I can bring conviction in your life, and you can realize you're messed and up. But if you just think, well, I'm just okay, I'm just meandering through, God says, I'd rather have you cold, but I really want you hot, on fire for me. But here's some good news, though. I talked about him spewing his out of his mouth, but look at Jeremiah chapter 29. It gives us some good news. He says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope and a future. Hold it right there. Hold it right there. Look at this. This is what God wants for us. When we're talking about what to run to, why is it that oftentimes when we get in trouble, we run the opposite direction from God? We run and we get in mess and we get in deeper and we get drama in our life and we lay out of church and we run there and we run to this fix and that fix and I'll just go shopping. Maybe that'll fix me. Or I'll just find a sport. Or I'll just go to the gym. Or worse, I'll have an affair. Or I'll go over here and do something crazy, you know, or something inflicting self-damage to myself. We run to the wrong things. But God says, my plan's for you to prosper you and not harm you, to give you a hope in the future. I'm telling you, folks, he's the one to run to. What he has for us is good, but look what he goes on to say. He says, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And look at this. You will seek me and find me when you seek me. When? With half of your heart. You sort of, you know, visit you every now and then. God, I'll come and just check you out and see how you're doing today. I don't want you to take complete control of my life, but I'll make a little space for you here and there. No, you won't find God that way. You see, some of us, we found religion, and we do a religious thing every once in a while, and we say, I'm not into religion. That doesn't do anything for me. Of course it doesn't do anything for you, because there you'll never find God there. You'll never find God in a half-hearted, half-baked commitment, right? You find yourself, you'll find God when you go for him with all your heart. That's the only place to find him. As if to say, you're not going to find me if you don't go all in. Can I get a good amen right there? I amen myself. All right. Why is that so important? Has anybody ever heard, we're talking about passion this morning, the passion of the Christ, the movie, The Passion of the Christ. That term passion of Christ, what do they mean by that? Well, it really marks the time of when Christ began to intercede in the Garden of Gethsemane until the time of his completion of his crucifixion. It's called the Passion of Christ. But where that term comes from is actually a Latin term meaning suffering. It's the suffering of Christ or the enduring suffering of Christ. But you look at that, he was suffering. Now, we think about passion. We think about love, you know, love and passionate, right? But really, that's what it was. Because in the midst of his suffering, another definition of that word passion is a compelling enthusiasm or a desire. Also, it denotes the term motion. So think about this. Christ, the reason he went through the suffering is because he went into motion passionately in love for you. The Bible says in many places he saw the needs of people, and it says that it describes him this way, he was moved with compassion for the needs of the people. I tell you, it's not you're having it all together. It's when you're in trouble that God is moved with compassion to come to your rescue. So he is passionately in love with you. He's so passionately in love with you that he left all of heaven to come to a earth that would mistreat him and become crucified for us, lay his life down for us because he was passionately in love with you. And so it demands a response. It demands a response from us. Not a half-hearted response, but a full commitment to Christ to say, God, you love me that much. So again, run with passion. Let me give you a third one. Run to God first. Save you a lot of headache, a lot of problems. Run to God first. Why is it that it's like prayer? We say prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. But when everything falls through, flat on the back, then we say, oh God, please help me now. Run to God first. And Jesus put it very plainly in Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Everything else that you need to run to, everything else on that list that's those practical things of life, guess what? You follow Christ, you put him first, those things will chase you down. And then it'll make sense because it's in order, and those things will even have more meaning. Number four, run to what matters eternally. Eternally. If in this life only you have hope, you're of all men most miserable. There's a hope beyond this life. There's something to focus on more than this life. There's an eternal hope that we have. And what matters eternally, that's really what matters. At the end of the day, that is what matters. This life is a vapor, but what matters is the next life. And what God wants is us to have a personal relationship with him. Not religion. Listen, let me stress that again. This is not about religion. It's about relationship. That's all God's ever wanted, is relationship. In Matthew 7, let me give you this. It's a very startling scripture where Jesus revealed that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. In other words, we're in relationship. You know the heart of God. He knows you. And then he says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And look at that. That's church folks. That's really who that's describing there. And then he says, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. I never knew you. That's startling. In other words, you could be in church and being going through religious motion, but yet you're not in relationship. And God's saying, I don't know you. We don't have a relationship. The greatest goal is to know him. Amen? Run to him. Run to him passionately. Run to him first. Run to him because he's what really matters. Let me give you one more scripture. It's found in Ephesians chapter 1. prayer of Paul. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may, look at this, know him. And listen, it's not going to take debate. It's not religious argument. It's not me trying to convince you through some kind of whatever. It's going to be through revelation, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you'll know him. It's not the, oh my, Pastor, you preached an impressive intellectual message. I get it now. No, it's the Spirit of God only that will reveal who he is. And he says, oh, my prayer is that they may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you'll be able to open your eyes open, that you can know him better. And then he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Look at this, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. There's a goal right there. There's a goal. I just want to give you that same scripture and something that you might be able to connect with. It's in the Message translation of that. It's not translation, it's a paraphrase, okay? But he says, I ask the God of our Master Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally. It's going to take God to reveal him. To know him personally, it's a personal relationship. Your eyes focused and clear so that you can see exactly what he is calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glorious way, this race that we're on, of life that he has for his followers, those that are following him in this race. Oh, that you may know what he has for you. May you discover it. And by the way, it's not a carrot on a stick. Oh, I'm trying to find him. I'm trying to get to him. I'm trying to know him. No, you can know him today, but even when you come to know him, then it's a journey of knowing him more and more and more. In fact, I believe when we get to heaven, we're not going to get there and say, oh, okay, I get him. There he is. I think we're going to be spending eternity knowing him more and more and more. Amen, everybody? Would you bow your heads with me today? My prayer is that most important than anything else is that you will know God today. That you'll discover a personal relationship with him. The Bible describes that he's the one that wrote the book on your life. In other words, he designed the course for your life. So this course, this path, this race, this journey, whatever you want to call it, whatever analogy you want to use, is not going to make sense until you know the one who wrote the book on your life and you align your life with him. And by the way, when you put him first in your life, he will reorder everything else in your life. And truly, that's all that salvation is. It's reordering your life to reflect that he is first in your life and then everything else follows. So today is about reordering, making Christ the goal worth running toward. So here's what I'd like to do. Today, if you're in this house and you know that perhaps, and maybe it wasn't intentional, but somehow you're racing towards the wrong goal. You're running up a ladder that's leaning against the wrong wall. But today, you're saying, I need my life reordered. I want to give you a wonderful opportunity to do just that. And I'm simply going to lead you in a prayer right where you are sitting. I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front or embarrass you. But while heads are bowed and eyes are closed right where you're sitting, I'd love the opportunity to simply lead you in a prayer. And all you've got to do is mean it. I'm just going to help you with the words. And if you're watching online today, I encourage you to join with us. And if you're here today and you say, that's me, I've decided this is the day I need to commit my life to Christ. I need to give him all. He gave his all for me. I'm ready to go all in. Come on, make up your mind. That's you today. Say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in? I'd like you to just simply, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just slip up a hand so I can know who I'm connecting with. Yes, good job, good job, good job, good job. Yes, so proud. Great, great, guys, great, guys. So proud of you. Here's what I want us to do. We're going to pray, and as I pray, I want everybody here to join me and pray out loud for support of those that need to pray this. But if you need to pray this, all you got to simply do is mean it. And I'm telling you, God's going to change your life. God's going to chart your course. God's going to chart your direction. It's going to have meaning, purpose, and fulfillment. In fact, God's going to give you joy for the journey. Right now, I want us to pray. Simply from your heart, just mean it. Let me lead you. Say something like this out loud. Come on, everyone. Say, today, Lord Jesus, thank you for life that's found in you. You have given me life, and you're the one that gives life meaning. Forgive me, Lord, for going my own way. Today, I run to you. I choose your way. Thank you for dying on the cross, paying a debt that I could not pay so that I could experience life. Today, by faith, I surrender my life to you. Come on, pray this. Say, I give you my life. Come on, say it again. I give you my life. And I ask you to come in. Make me brand new on the inside. And with all my heart, I will follow you as you help me. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for every person who needed to pray that prayer and prayed it today. Those watching online and those here in the house. God, I pray over them. I pray, God, that you will direct their steps day by day, step by step, Lord. I pray your blessings upon them, God. I pray, God, your favor upon their life. I pray your peace in the midst of it all, God. And I pray, God, that they will continue to follow you day by day and grow in their faith. And discover the fullness of life that you intended them to enjoy, God. Thank you, Lord. We're trusting you now. And I pray, Father, for this entire church. God, may we know you more. May we follow you fully. God, may we follow you passionately, God, for all you've done for us, for all you do and do in us and through us. We give you all the credit for us. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's thank God for lives changed this morning.